कुंज विहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यमुना तीर वन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। आधा जय जगन्नाथ जय जगन्नाथ जय जगन्नाथ जय प्रभु जगन्नाथ। जय बलदेव जय सुभद्रा। जय बलदेव जय सुभद्रा। तिमिरांदस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकम्। वंदेहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरु वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवाद पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विश्वभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते। लेट्स चैंट टुगेदर। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today is a very auspicious day and we are in a very auspicious moment. Lord Jagannath has come out of his temple after days of experiencing fever, and millions of people are celebrating. And today I was given the verse on Jai and Vijay, and we want to recite that verse, and I will speak a few words on how this connects with Lord Jagannath. This is, can you tell me the chapter verse number? 16.1. Brahmavacha iti tad grinatam tesham मुनिनाम योग धर्मिनाम प्रतिनंद्य जगादेदम विकुंठ निलयो विभुहु। सो आई वाज टोल्ड दिस एंड द नेक्स्ट वर्स, एंड नेक्स्ट वर्स हैज द पर्पोर्ट, करेक्ट। श्री भगवान उवाच एतौ तौ पार्षदौ मह्यम् जयो विजय एव च गदर्थी कृत्य माम यो यद्वो बहु अक्रताम अतिक्रमम्। एतौ तौ पार्षद मह्यम् जयो विजय एव च गदार्थी कृत्य माम यद्वो बहु अक्रातम अतिक्रमम्। एतौ तौ पार्षदौ मह्यम् जयो विजय एव च गदार्थी कृत्य माम अद्वो बहु अक्राताम अतिक्रमम्। जयो विजय एव च कदार्थी कृत्य माम यद्वो बहु अक्रातम अतिक्रमम्। ततो पार्षदो मायम् जय विजय एव च कदार्थी कृत्य माम यद्वो भावाक्रातम अतिक्रमम्। इतातौ पार्षदौ मायम् जयो विजय एव च कदार्थी कृत्य माम यद्वो
Aho akratam atikramam. Itauto parshadau mahyam. Jayo vijaya evacha. Kadarthi kritya mam yadvo. Aho akratam atikramam.
Sri Bhagavan uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Etau, these two, Tau, they, Parshadau, attendants, Mahyam, of mine, Jayaha, name Jaya, Vijayaha, name Vijaya, Eva, certainly, Cha, and, Kadarthi Kritya, by ignoring Mam, me, Yat, which, Vaha, against you, Bahu, great, Akratam, have committed Atikramam, offense. Translation. The Personality of Godhead said, these attendants of mine, Jay and Vijay by name, have committed a great offense against you because of ignoring me. The purport says, to commit an offense at the feet of a devotee of the Lord is a great wrong. Even when a living entity is promoted to Vaikuntha, there is still the chance that he may commit offenses. But the difference is that when one is in a Vaikuntha planet, even if by chance one commits an offense, he is protected by the Lord. This is the remarkable fact in the dealings of the Lord and the servitor, as seen in the present incident concerning Jaya and Vijaya. The word atikramam used herein indicates that in offending a devotee, one neglects the Supreme Lord himself. By mistake, the doorman held the sages from entering Vaikuntha Loka. But because they were engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord, their annihilation was not expected by advanced devotees. The Lord's presence on the spot was very pleasing to the hearts of the devotees. The Lord understood that the trouble was due to his lotus feet not being seen by the sages, and therefore he wanted to please them by personally going there. The Lord is so merciful that even if there is some impediment for the devotee, he himself manages matters in such a way that the devotee is not bereft of having audience at his lotus feet. There is a very good example in the life of Haridas Thakur. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reciting at Jagannath Puri, Haridas Thakur, who happened to be a Mohammedan by birth, was with him. In Hindu temples, especially in those days, no one but a Hindu was allowed to enter. Although Haridas Thakur was the greatest of all Hindus in his behavior, he considered himself a Mohammedan and did not enter the temple. Lord Chaitanya could understand his humility, and since he did not go to see the temple, Lord Chaitanya, who is not different from Jagannath, used to come and sit with Haridas Thakur daily. Here in Srimad Bhagavatam, we also find the same behavior of the Lord. His devotees were prevented from seeing his lotus feet. But the Lord himself came to see them on the same lotus feet for which they aspired. It is also significant that he was accompanied by the Goddess of Fortune. The Goddess of Fortune is not to be seen by ordinary persons, but the Lord was so kind that although the devotees did not aspire for such an honor, he appeared before them with the goddess of fortune. I would particularly want to focus on these lines. There is a good example in the life of Haridas Thakur when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing in Jagannath Puri on to saying, Lord Chaitanya himself, who is non-different from Jagannath, is to come and sit with Haridas Thakur daily. Since today is the auspicious occasion of Rath Yatra, it is important to spend some time in Shravana Yoga. Do you know what Shravana Yoga is? Shravana Yoga is what you are doing now. It is meditation through hearing. So hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is a form of yoga where you don't have to exercise. What about that? Yoga Dharminam, yes. Okay, Lord Brahma said, after thus congratulating the sages for their nice words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose abode is in the kingdom of God, spoke as follows. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada starts this Srimad Bhagavatam by saying that one must understand the present need of human society. We are no longer bound, I'm paraphrasing, we are no longer bound by narrow geographical walls. And even though we have made great progress in the areas of sense gratification, modern education, economic development, there is a pinprick somewhere that causes large-scale quarrels in society. The Srimad Bhagavatam, this book we are reading, is a cultural presentation to provide a clue as how to live a life of peace, prosperity and progress in a spiritual conscious way. And this particular incident of Jai and Vijay is a great lesson in terms of how we can become devotees of the Lord and participate in that cultural presentation. You know, cultural presentation can be of two types. One is you buy a ticket, you go to a theater and you see a nice drama, you know, on Ramayana, Mahabharata, whatever. You have a good time, you go home. Right? Another way of doing, you know, engaging in a cultural presentation is to get absorbed in it. And the process of Krishna Bhakti is a process of absorption, not just seeing from a distance. Am I clear so far? So some people may have a question that, you know, when I enter the temple, why should I bow down? That is because we are beginning to participate in the activities of Krishna. We are entering the world of Krishna by first offering respect to somebody who is our teacher. Why are we wearing, see, the ladies are wearing beautiful saris, the gentlemen are wearing beautiful dhotis and kurtas, why? It is a secondary aspect of Krishna Bhakti. But what you wear kind of dictates your mood, your state of mind. If you were wearing a tuxedo right now, you will feel very official, correct? You know what a tuxedo is? Like a suit. If you wear that right now, you would feel very official. If you were in your pajamas, you know, you're very likely supposed to go to bed. So what we wear, how we call ourselves, how we behave, decides which world we live in. And the Srimad Bhagavatam invites us to enter the world of Lord Vishnu. What is the world of Lord Vishnu like? The world of Lord Vishnu is without three things. You remember this? I called it the sad problem. Remember this, a sad problem? S stands for stress, A stands for anxiety, and D stands for depression. S, A, D, is the biggest sad problem in the world today. We live in Florida. Imagine you wake up in the morning and you open your eyes and on the ceiling is a big, beautiful cockroach. What will happen to you? How many of us will freak out? Okay, few of us. So you're not alone, huh? How many of us will think this is another living entity in the body of a cockroach? Somebody here finds it really funny. You don't have to tell me this, but how many of you will run with a chappal, you know, with a shoe? Okay, one Prabhuji is very honest. Thank you. Right, you know, poor cockroach. You know, cockroaches are very intelligent. Did you notice? They don't usually come out when humans are active. Only when they see that humans are passive, they are sleeping, they are busy with something, then they come out to check where is the food. Right? So the cockroach, like humans, is living in a world of kuntha. Kuntha means stress, anxiety, depression. And who stresses the cockroaches? Humans. The cockroach is stressed. The cockroach is anxious. And whether the cockroach is depressed or not, I don't know. But think about it. One part of our reptilian brain thinks that this is very dangerous for me. And then after seeing the cockroach, even if you throw the cockroach away, your mood is destroyed for some time that I had met a cockroach. Right? This is called kuntha. Simple things in the world affect us. Only when we see things in a particular way that, you know, this is actually not so big, we can become detached from it. Then we start entering what is known as Vaikuntha. Kuntha means suffering. Vaikuntha means a state of existence where suffering does not exist. Vaikuntha. So when you don't have any stress, when you don't have any anxiety, when you don't have a depression, then you are in Vaikuntha. That is the realm of Lord Vishnu. And how do you access that? Chinta mani prakara sadma shukalpataru ravrikshat, and so forth. Right? Now this realm of Vaikuntha is guarded by two entities who are dear to the Lord, but they sometimes end up doing atikrama. In this verse it says, krama means gradual process. Right? So if I'm supposed to go to the car after this class, I have to get out, there is a process. But if I totally ignore due process, that is atikrama. Ignoring due process is offensive. Atikrama. And Jay and Vijay were, you know, sometimes when we have a particular service, like, you know, the most difficult service among Vaishnava communities is to serve sweets during festivals. Think about it. First of all, you know, if you have started serving before taking prasad first, then the portions that will go out will be smaller than usual. Because what if the food runs out? I am great, I am serving. But if food runs out, I'll be in a lot of trouble. Right? So we have this psychology of stress. What if the food runs out? Anxiety. What will happen to me? And like the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which cleanses the heart, there is one mantra which is definitely going to put you in some amount of stress and anxiety. You know that mantra? We chant this mantra all the time, more than the Maha Mantra. Even when sometimes our hands are inside the bead bag and we are chanting the Maha Mantra on the mala, our mind is chanting a different mantra. That mantra is called, what about me? You know, how many of us say, what about me, 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 what about me? All the time we are thinking, what about me? What about me is the Maha Mantra for Kuntha. Clear so far? And so Jay Vijay, who was guarding Lord Vishnu, began to feel that their service is in jeopardy because, you know, anybody is getting access and our job is to restrict access. But they did not have the discrimination to know who is a Vaishnava and who is not a Vaishnava. And therefore, after the curse, Jay and Vijay had to come through several reincarnations just to be with the Lord, but more importantly, be with the devotees of the Lord to understand who is a devotee and who is not a devotee. And today, in the next 20 to 25 minutes, I want to speak about Jay Vijay in their three incarnations. Ravana and Kumbhakarna. Oh God. I know Ramayana all over again. Who is the, what is the, okay, let me ask you, what is the next incarnation of Jay Vijay after Ramayana? Kamsa and? Yes. So Jay Vijay reincarnates first as Kumbhakarna and Ravana, then Kamsa and Sishupal, and then as? Huh? Sorry? First, I'm talking about after Mahaprabhu's Leela. Jagai Madhai. So see, every incarnation Jay and Vijay had, Ravan and Kumbhakarna were killed by Lord Ram. But in that lifetime, they had to learn how to appreciate Vaishnavas. Same with Shishupala. Same with, particularly, Jagai and Madhai. Right? And in a sense, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra unites or ties together the story of Hari who is Ram and Hari who is Krishna. And Hari who is Gaura, who chants Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. So I wanted to share some realizations on who is Lord Jagannath and how the Ramayana, Mahabharata and the Chaitanya Charitamrita combines together to give the special identity of Lord Jagannath. I wrote a master's dissertation on this at Oxford University about exactly 20 years back. And I wanted to share some realizations from there. Lord Ramchandra is known as Maryada Purushottam. Can we close that door? There is a lot of noise coming from there, from the tractor or whatever it is. Lord Ramchandra was known as Maryada Purushottama. And in his Leela, in his pastimes as Lord Ramchandra, Sita was kidnapped. And our acharyas explain that Sita Devi represents the individual living entity, Jiva. Lord Ram is the supreme person. And when a living entity is separated from the Lord, the spiritual master comes to unite them. And so Lord Hanuman represents the spiritual master. In the pastime of Lord Ramchandra, the killing of Ravan and Kumbhakarna was not the primary motive of Lord Ram. It was a secondary issue. The primary motive of Lord Ram was to demonstrate what real love is. And if you think about it, is there anybody in this room who can tell me that the love that you have experienced in your life has come without a price? Love comes at a great price, always. The big question is that price worth paying? Love always comes at a very heavy price. Very heavy price. Think about it. But is it worth paying? According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, when that love is material, you know, the payment is not worth it. it is going to leave you heartbroken and miserable. But when it is spiritual love, it will also leave you heartbroken and miserable, but it is worth paying. Because at the end of it, Krishna makes sure that it ends well. And so it is with the story of Jay and Vijay. Jay and Vijay loved the Lord, but it came at a very heavy price. They had to reincarnate as demons again and again and again and meet horrific deaths. But each death was a step closer to the person they loved. And that price was worth paying, because when love is towards things that are material, that get destroyed in time, then it is like planting a seed in a desert and pouring water. If you plant a nice apple seed in a desert and pour water over it for 20 years, are you going to get an apple tree? Yes or no? No. But if you take that same seed and plant it in fertile soil, give it ample sunshine, give it regular care, will you get an apple tree or not? Yes. So where you plant your seed is very important. And the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam says that one should not become a father, a mother, a teacher, a relative, a king, a guru, unless one is able to save one's dependents from the cycle of birth and death. And to be able to do that, you have to plant the seed at the right place. You have to plant your seed in the fertile soil of bhakti, seed that is given to you by Guru and Krishna. Only then it will actually begin to take shape. Right? So Ravan planted that seed in the wrong place. Ravan planted that seed in the hope of his perpetual royalty, perpetual reign. Kumbhakarna planted his seed in the wrong place. Kumbhakarna planted his seed in hope and dependence on Ravana, even when Ravan was making mistakes, like kidnapping Rama's wife. And Lord Ramchandra had to come to show what is love by bringing Sita back. You know, Lord Ram, he was the emperor of the most powerful kingdom. He did not need to go out. Dasharatha himself, his father told him, Ram, don't leave the kingdom. Just kill me and take over the throne. And Ram said, are you mad? And you know, there were thousands of ladies waiting to marry Ram. He was a hero. He was, you know, he could marry anybody. He could have said, okay, Sita is gone, I'll get another one. He could have said that. No. If it is Sita, if I have given my word, I will keep my word. So in that Leela, Sita and Ram are a married couple. In the next Leela, what happens when it is Kamsa and Shishupal? The Lord and the energy of the Lord, at this time an unmarried couple. But they're always a couple, a divine couple. Lord Ram was a stickler of rules. Krishna knew how to play with rules. Lord Ram was always, you know, stick to the rules. Krishna is like, yes, we will stick to the rules, but we will play with rules. How do you play with rules? Well, Kamsa, think about it. Kamsa realized that the eighth child of my sister is going to kill me and take over my throne. Same mindset as Ravana. And so essentially, if you look at the life of Sri Krishna, and I was explaining this to a devotee last night, you know, for anybody, Krishna's life is transcendental. But if you see the incidents of Krishna's life is also a serial disaster. Serial disaster. Krishna is born in... How many of us have the, you know, good fortune of saying, I was born in jail? because my parents were arrested without a reason and kept in jail for more than 8 years till I was born, and 11 years after that. So how long was Devaki and Vasudeva in jail? Krishna was the 8th child, and then Krishna came to Mathura at 11 and a half. So almost 20 years. 20 years of your life in jail. Why? You have no offense. You have no criminal record. Only because your child may take away my throne, you stay in prison. That was Krishna's life. And you know, Krishna had met the Gopikas. He had a wonderful life in Vrindavan. And then one fine day, he gets yanked out of all of that. And he has to go to Mathura. And Nakrura tells him that, you know, your uncle has arranged for a circus with assassins in there. So externally, it looks like a very happy fair. But actually, there are assassins and traps waiting to kill you. And Krishna escapes all of that and kills Kamsa. Right? And you know what happens the moment Krishna kills Kamsa? Who knows what happens to Krishna the moment he kills Kamsa? No ruler chaos. But Kamsa had a father-in-law. You know his name? Jarasandha. Kamsa was a king of the Bhoja dynasty. Jarasandha was a king of Magadha. Bhoja was little southwest of Hastinapur, and Magadha was towards Bihar. So the moment Jarasandha heard that my son-in-law has been killed by a young boy, he immediately became very upset. And he attacked Mathura, you know how many times? 17 or 18 times he attacked Mathura. Every year there would be a new campaign. Now imagine Krishna's life, okay? He's growing up with parents who are his foster parents. Born in jail. Taken out of his village at 11 and a half. Releases his parents and his grandparents from prison, puts them back on the throne. And you know, Mathura is a very important city in ancient India. It is a part of the Silk Route. You know what the Silk Route is? It's one of the most important cities on the trade routes between Europe and Asia. So whoever is in Mathura, you know, you have a very rich city. And Jarasandha keeps attacking Mathura again and again and again and again, and Krishna has to defend his city. Do you think it's a good life? And now think about it. If Jarasandha knew what is dearmost to Krishna's heart, would Jarasandha spare it? Now, do we know what is dearmost to Krishna's heart? Radharani, Vrindavan, Brijabasis. If Jarasandha knew that he is attacking Mathura 17 times because this boy has killed his son-in-law, if Jarasandha knew that Vrindavan, Brijvasis, and particularly Srimati Radharani is most dear to Krishna, would Jarasandha spare it? Yes or no? So you see, Sri Krishna is fighting one battle after another with corrupt kings for his entire lifetime. But in his heart of hearts, what is he fighting for? He is fighting for his beloved Radha. He is fighting for his beloved Brijabasis. He is fighting for his beloved Brajabhumi. Clear so far? And in this way, a whole lifetime gets over. And Brijabasis are heartbroken without Krishna. And Krishna sometimes talks in his sleep about Vrindavan. He has 8 queens. And everybody is wondering, you know, he's a satisfied man. Why is he constantly talking about Vrindavan? But Krishna constantly thinks about Vrindavan. And Uddhava, who is Krishna's brother, who looks just like Krishna, arranged for a meeting on a particular solar eclipse day. He went to the Brijbasis and said, you know, Krishna is coming to this place called Kurukshetra to take a bath on this auspicious day. He doesn't know, but you must all come. And the Brijbasis thought, okay, let's meet Krishna, because, you know, if it is a pilgrimage on a holy day, then nobody suspects anything. So the Brijbasis came to Kurukshetra and Krishna came to Kurukshetra. And you know why Kurukshetra is special? Not just because Bhagavad Gita. Kurukshetra, according to Skanda Purana, is also the place where Lord Ramchandra did a major yajna, declaring it a holy place. So Kurukshetra is a holy place from the time of Lord Ram. It is a holy place at the time of Lord Krishna. And when everybody comes together on this auspicious day that we are celebrating today, a very heartbreaking incident happens. Radharani has not seen Krishna for a long time. She just hears about Krishna. Krishna has not seen Radharani for a very long time. And when the Brijabasis bring Radharani and Krishna together, Krishna is now a big king on his chariot. And you know what Radharani says? This is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, who is this person? I don't recognize him. My Krishna sits under a tree next to the bank of a river and tries to woo me. He flirts with me. This is not Krishna. And at the same time, Krishna has his arms outstretched. Have you seen Lord Jagannath Sam? Can we bring out a picture of the Lord? Oh, it's done. You've seen Lord Jagannath's arms are outstretched. He's trying to embrace. Who is he trying to embrace? Sarasavapura alingana sukho. Jagannatha swami nayana patagami bhavatume. He's trying to embrace Brijvasis, particularly Srimati Radha. And Srimati Radha says, who is this? I don't know. And Lord Jagannath casts off all his golden ornaments and says, no, I'm not a king. That's love. And the question is, no love comes without a price. What was Krishna willing to sacrifice? He's everything. And then Sri Krishna, at that point, had a question. What is it? You know, these Brajavasis love me so much, but, you know, I am Krishna. They love me. I am so unfortunate that I will never experience the sweetness and beauty of their love, because how can I do this when I am not them? I do not know what it is like to love me, and I want to change that. And that is why poor Jay and Vijay has to take another incarnation, because they are servitors of the Lord. They are an excuse for the Lord to come. And so Jay and Vijay comes as Jagai and Madhai. But Gauranga Mahaprabhu appears in the form of Radha. Radha Bhava Dyuti Vigalitam Naumi Krishna Swarupam. Just to understand one thing, what is it like to love Krishna? Right? And so in a sense, the story of Ramayana, story of Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, and the story of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is a tale of three divine romances. First as Sitaram, then as Radha Krishna, and then as Mahaprabhu Jagannath. Jagannath was known as Mahaprabhu. And it was a rule in Orissa that nobody except Lord Jagannath should be known as Mahaprabhu. But King Prataparudra realized that there is Mahaprabhu in the temple, but there is another Mahaprabhu walking on the streets. And he called Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, like, you know, that in those days, even 50, 100 years back, it was a custom to give Vaishnavas or great souls beautiful titles. Like those who understand or interested in Indian history will know that Rabindranath Tagore gave Mahatma Gandhi the name Mahatma. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Ibrahim the name Namacharya Thakur Haridas. Nam Acharya. The Bhagnapara Vaishnavas gave Bhakti Vinod Thakur the title Bhakti Vinoda. So giving titles to honor Vaishnavas is a part of Vaishnava culture. So King Pratabrudra gave Sri Chaitanya the title Mahaprabhu. And by giving that title Mahaprabhu, he declared to his whole kingdom that this person is as good as Lord Jagannath. And in the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on this day, as he is dancing in front of the chariot, we have the culmination of thousands of years of history of Sita and Ram getting separated, of Radha and Krishna getting separated, and of Mahaprabhu feeling separation from Jagannath even though he is standing in front of Jagannath. And on the day that Radha and Krishna met again in Kurukshetra, the Brijavasis decided, enough is enough. Krishna, you stayed too far away for too long. We can't live without you. And so they got rid of the horses from the chariot and took the chariot ropes and started pulling Krishna back to Vrindavan. Krishna, come home. And that is the day we are celebrating today. Krishna gives everything to bring his devotees home, back to Godhead. But today the roles are reversed. Today we say that, Krishna, I know that sooner or later you will bring me home. But today please allow us to serve you, to bring you home. And so Ratha Yatra is the festival of dragging God home back to Godhead. I want to pause here or stop here. I thank you very much to online listeners, to Vaishnavas who are present here. And in the next 7 to 8 minutes, I will attempt to answer any questions, or if you have any comments or thoughts, I would love to hear that. And I thank you for patiently engaging in Shravana Yoga on this auspicious occasion of Rath Yatra.
Thank you, Prabhu. We're also having Rath Yatra in Mathura today. We had a Rath Yatra many, many years ago, the first one in Mathura, and it was just like out of Krishna book, and the devotees were throwing flowers from all the, you know, houses there, and everyone's very, very excited, big kirtan. So just like we have Lakshmi, Narayan, Sita Ram, Radha Krishna, so is Lakshmi Devi with Lord Jagannath, or do we sometimes put him to, is it something, does Lord Jagannath have like a counterpart that we can consider?
Yes, in the temple, the three consorts of Lord Jagannath are known as Sri, Bhu and Nila. And there is Lakshmi also. And Radharani does not live in the temple. Radharani lives in Gundicha. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita says that Krishna stays with Lakshmi Devi in seclusion because after getting his bath, he gets a fever. Of course, it is a leela and it is for entertaining his devotees. But after that, you know, he has to go and see Radha. And that is Rath Yatra. Now when he sees Radha, I mean Govinda, Lord Jagannath is Lakshmi Sahasra Sambrama Sevyamanyam, right? He's millions of Lakshmis serving him. But his main Lakshmi in the Jagannath Puri temple gets very upset that he is gone. And then after a few days when he comes back, Lakshmi does not let him enter the temple. And there is a fight between the servants of Lord Jagannath and the servants of Lakshmi. Right. And she calls him all kinds of names. You debauch, you cheater, this, that. And Lord Jagannath is like, forgive me. So the Lord is, you know, Mahaprabhu teaches us Trinadapi Sunichena. Lord Jagannath has to practice it. Otherwise, he won't be able to go inside his own temple. Right? But that is the power of Lakshmi. Hare Krishna.
Hare Prabhu. Very nice, thank you. So you were saying when the residents lose the horses of Krishna chariot and start pulling him back to Vrindavan, that's how Ratha Yatra start? I mean,
yes. That is what we are celebrating. Uh-huh. Ratha Yatra is bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. Uh-huh. And that, why is Lord Jagannath such, you know, exaggerated features? Eyes big, you know, big smile. Because he is in a state of ecstasy.
So Subhadra and Balaram are there too?
Yes, thank you for that good question. Only three other people knew Krishna's secrets. Subhadra, Balaram and Uddhava. Uddhava orchestrated the whole incident and Subhadra and Balaram participated in it. So we celebrate. Prabhu had a question.
But as far as I understand, they weren't able to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan at that time, correct?
Maybe can you elaborate?
No, I don't know. I'm asking you.
I have heard Krishna goes back to Vrindavan and stays there. And Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that Mahaprabhu cleaned Gundicha temple before Ratha Yatra, experiencing it as Vrindavan. And when Lord Jagannath goes to Gundicha, it is called Vrindavan.
So when he left, so he had left Dwarka and he was in Kurukshetra.
And then he was in Vrindavan for some time.
And he went to Vrindavan for how long?
For a few days.
Just for a few days. So it's, in a way, it's strange that Subhadra's on one of the chariots, because you don't really hear much about Subhadra in...
Yes. See, Subhadra is a very interesting character in the Mahabharata.
Mm-hmm.
She is Krishna's sister who Balaram wants to get married to Duryodhan. Mm-hmm. Duryodhan is Balaram's favorite student. He's good at mace. And so when Arjuna comes to visit Krishna, Arjuna and Subhadra can't get their eyes off each other. Krishna notices it. Krishna realizes that, you know, this girl is in love with Arjuna. If she ends up getting married to Duryodhana, like my brother wants, it is going to be bad. So you know what Krishna tells Arjuna? Kidnap my sister and run. So Arjuna literally gets Subhadra, runs away. Balaram is so upset with Krishna. Because in those days, a princess marrying another prince from another kingdom means these two kingdoms are not going to fight. Right? So if Duryodhan is the king, prince, if Subhadra married Duryodhan, then you know, there is no... So Balaram is thinking politically. And Krishna looks at these two, says, you know, they are in love. Arjuna, take her and run. And in the Vedic system, there are eight kinds of marriages. The version of marriage we have today is more like a Roman Judaic system. It's not the Vedic system. You go register your name in the court. You go, if you want to get a divorce, you go back to the court. In Vedic system, there is no divorce. You may live separately, but there is no divorce. So how does Vedic... So there is some marriage where a father decides that this is the right son-in-law for me. You know, arranges. In some, the sages decide. There is one kind of vivaha called Gandharva vivaha. Gandharva vivaha means marriage like the Gandharvas. When two people fall in love and they, in their mind, they become a couple, it is considered marriage in the Vedic system. If you try to separate them, you are creating a disaster. So Subhadra had that Gandharva vivaha. And yet, she is Krishna's most intimate sister. And she knows, you know, Krishna had some secrets. And Gaudiya Vaishnavism, I'll finish with this, Gaudiya Vaishnavism is a school of meditation with its own distinctive metaphysics based on the epics of India that explains what Krishna's secret is. You know what is Krishna's secret? You know what is Krishna's secret? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is Krishna's secret. Because our acharyas explain that, you know, Radha and Krishna could not be together, right? And the Mahamantra actually shows the two major beautiful sides of love. Vipralambha, which is separation, and Sambhoga, which is union. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna and Hare are together. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare is separation. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, togetherness. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, Vipralambha. And here is the fun part. This is Jiva Goswami. The fun part is, Krishna calls Radha Hare, and Radha calls Krishna Ram. Ram means a very charming, romantic, delightful man. Yogina Ramante Yahasa Rama. One who delights the yogis is Rama. And Hare means one who steals the heart. So in Sanskrit, Hare can come from Hari. When you call Hari, you can say Hare. Or if you call Hara, it is also Hare. So for those who don't understand the sweetness of Krishna's secrets, Hare means Hari. But those who know Krishna's secret, Hara is Hare. So Jiva Goswami says, we Gaudiya Vaishnavas, for us, Ram means Ramana. The beautiful, charming man that Hare loves. And Hare is the name that Sri Krishna calls Radha. And so the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the names that Radha and Krishna have for each other. Krishna will go Hare and she will go Krishna. Krishna will go, you know, Hare and she will go Ram. And this is what we chant. This is why it is the Mahamantra. There is nothing else higher than this, than the divine names of Radha and Krishna. And you know, every morning we sing a song, a prayer to enter this mood. You know the song we sing every morning? Tulashi Krishna Prayashi. Prayashi means lover. Namo Namo. I bow down to you, Tulasi, Krishna's lover. Braje Radha Krishna Seva Pabo Eyo Bhilashi. Give me service to Radha Krishna and Braj. Ei moro obhilasha. What is Bilash Kunja? Bilash Kunja means Krishna's deepest secret that only his inner circle has access to. So we pray to Tulasi Devi every morning. This is my heart's desire, that give me access to Krishna's secret. And after praying, we get access to Krishna's secret. You know what that secret is now? The holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is Krishna's secret. Okay? Thank you so much. Jagannath Swami ki Jai.